Hi everyone, it's Favi, and before we start the show, I have a special message. So during this episode, we talk about Black Lives Matter, the protests that are happening, the importance of informing your community about what's happening because, you know, the media, especially Univision, Telemundo, for example, just spreads more misinformation and racist and anti-Black values that are ingrained within the Latinx community. And so this episode is a call to action in that sense. I say many times during the episode to please talk to your families, to counteract what they see in the media, to counteract the systemic racism within our own upbringings, the racism within our family. And I will admit, I've been having a really tough time doing that because my vocabulary in Spanish is not that great. You know, I barely know how to read and write in Spanish. And I know a lot of Latinos, a lot of Latinx listeners that listen to Latinos Who Lunch can relate to that because we've had a lot of letters from y'all, you know. And I started looking for resources online to help me translate what I'm trying to say in Spanish so that people like my mom and my grandmother can understand what I'm saying. So the last couple days I've been doing research and I just wasn't finding what I really needed. And then I reached out to y'all on Instagram and asked you to share those posts in Spanish that might help me. And oh my gosh, when it rains, it pours. Thank you, everybody, for sending me countless resources in Spanish, countless glossaries of words that I need to know in order to really communicate effectively. And I want to make sure I share that with all of you. So in the show notes, I'm going to add a few links, but know that if you go on our Instagram, I'm putting all of the Instagram posts y'all are sending me regarding talking to Latinx Spanish-speaking people about Black Lives Matter, all right? So I'm going to leave them in the highlights of the Instagram. I'm also going to create a page on our website that has a lot of these anti-racist resources. I'm going to try compiling all of those and putting them up. I will compile those and put them up right on the front page of our website, right above our big old heads, okay? So if you are frustrated because you're not finding explanations of Black Lives Matter, explanations of the anti-Blackness of this country, the explanations of the anti-Blackness within the world and Latin American countries, I will put all the resources that I find on our website and on our Instagram. Okay, enjoy the show. Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
la luz que te alumbra y te ayuda a salir del dilema. Este es mi lema. What's up, baby? Aquí siempre. Aquí haciendo caso cerrado.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kisho, kisho, kisho.
How's it going, Babelito?
It's going. It's been a weird ass week, but I'm with my family, bless, eating all kinds of great food, so I can't complain. ¿Cómo estás?
Bien, bien. Not eating great food, but not with my family, all by myself. Where are you in the world right now?
I am in Vegas. We are making our way back to Chicago, but I know Chicago is not doing so good with this whole COVID thing, so I'm kind of like hesitant, but I gotta go do some business, you know, take care of some business in Chicago, so we're going back this week. But in the meantime, we stopped here in Vegas because tickets to Chicago are for some reason so much cheaper from Vegas than like LA. So we're here and we're with family.
Nice. Yeah, I'm still at my granny's house because she's stuck in Mexico. They're not letting anybody travel, so
that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's great. I can tell she's getting a little depressed, lonely over there, but it's for her the better, I think, so she can, you know, stay isolated with the rest of the viejitos in the pueblo. I'm so happy that they're taking it seriously because, you know, it's like the little town where we're from is like, you know, a lot of people go in the summer to vacation. And right now is like peak time where kids are getting off of school and stuff. But anybody that shows up to the town, they quarantine them. They're like for real. So I'm really impressed. And it just goes to show you these ideas we have of Mexico of like, oh, they, you know, they're just little villages. They don't know what's going on when they're like more on point than the cities in the United States, you know?
Well, see, because like they cannot afford it. Like if it hits like very densely populated areas, like in India, where it just got crazy for a while, like it's just the consequences are too crazy. So they have to take it seriously, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so before we get into it, we are Latinos Who Lunch. So let's talk about what have you been eating?
Hijo de la chinga. But you know, like yesterday I've been eating all kinds of things, but people in Vegas are taking the quarantine also very seriously. So ordering food, it's such a breeze here compared to other places. Like I went to go get ice cream yesterday and they have a table outside. So you call, you get your ice cream, you call, they get your order, and then somebody goes outside while you stay in your car and then put your order outside in a table. And then when they go inside, you go and pick it up. It's my kind of place. But I don't know, man. I've been eating a lot of shit, but my favorite food I think so far has been the carne asada from yesterday, even though I was avoiding it because I wanted more Japanese curry. But my mom made this salad, the cueritos, which I haven't eaten in a long time. Oh, it's so good. Have you ever had ensalada de cueritos?
Can you please explain it to the listeners? Because I have always been disgusted by it. So please explain it in great detail. Thank
pues,
you.
Pues, güey, los cueritos son como pickle, pork skin.
Okay, great, great.
Pero es que saben bien buenos, güey. And then my mom cuts it in tiritas, like in little stripes. And then she puts chile, tomate, cebolla, repollo, y un chingo de limón to just add to the pickle. That in a taco with queso fresco, it's so, so good. I love cueritos. Another one of my favorite snacks in Mexico, we call it chilindrinas. So it's that chicharrón that it's made out of flour. You know, they sell them in like these little tablets, the chicharrón. And then you put it in the oil y luego se expande, cabrón, se expande. No, y le pones la ensalada de cueritos con el repollo, los cueritos, chile, tomate, cebolla. And then you put salsa valentina, tomates, whatever you want to add to it. Oh, it's the best thing. That's very common in like street fairs and shit like that. You don't like cueritos?
It's a texture thing, bro. I don't know. Like cold, like, you know, I like menudo. I like it. You know, it's a very similar texture to like tripe, you know, to tripa and menudo.
Right.
But something about it being cold, it just kind of it kind of grosses me out. Even like, you know, like when you go to Japanese restaurants and you can eat like a squid salad that's cold, it's just not my thing. Like if it's hot, it's different. It's you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've never had cueritos in a warm plate though, so that's probably why.
Yeah, we usually fry them and eat them as chicharrones. That's the best. A crunch, bitch. You know I like a crunch.
Right.
And I even look crunchy every day now with this fucking quarantine. I don't even give a fuck anymore. I'm like, I'm just gonna grow this mullet out, girl.
You're not one
Shout
of those
out to like, Crystal.
Pendejo.
Go ahead.
So, en pantalonera todo el día.
Sure. I don't know what that means, but yeah, fine.
Pantalones, sweatpants.
No, it's too hot for sweatpants, girl. I'm living by myself right now, so I usually just wear no clothes, and it's the best.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. I've been trying not to go out, and like really, every time I go out, I get pissed off at somebody. So I'm just like trying not to interact with the public because, yeah, you say people are taking it seriously, but most people, I would say 50-50 are taking it seriously. Like when you go to the store,
I agree.
People don't wear masks. People, I mean, it's like, who cares? And so I try not to. So I think I'm down to like, I have potatoes, carrots, rice, beans, and onions. So you can make a lot with that. Okay?
You can make a lot with that. Are you still vegetarian? And
I'm vegan, 100%. Hello.
Okay, because I was...
As an advocate for the vegan community, I am shocked and appalled that you would even question that on this platform. Oh, my God. But I've just been inventing shit because... I don't know. Like yesterday, I just made like a potato. I was like, oh, I'm going to make a sopita with like potatoes and onions and la la la. And I made it. I'm like, oh, this is just a leek and potato soup. Like, okay, cool.
Right.
I didn't invent anything, you know? But you know what I did invent that I've never had before?
What?
I had queso and I had eggs, all vegan, of course.
Yes, yes.
Queso, queso de mi rancho vegan.
Y huevos. Y huevos sintéticos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. You know that? Oh, no, I'm not going to get into that. I was going to talk about, you know, some people have fake testicles.
Let's not.
It's just like, it's another story. It's like they give them to dogs too, like when they get them neutered. Okay, but back to chicken eggs. So, I have tortillas de harina, I mean, tortillas de maíz, and I had a queso ranchero that my grandma had in the freezer that I thawed out. It's so bomb. And eggs. I had a few eggs. And I wanted a quesadilla, but it was also breakfast. And I was just like, again, I don't want to dirty dishes, you know? Like, I don't want to spend my whole day washing fucking dishes. I'm over
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
So I said, I'm going to make everything in one thing. So I put the tortillas down on a hot pan with oil, you know, and flipped them around a little bit. You know how you kind of grease up the tortilla a little bit for Timon. Enchiladas?
Timon.
Yeah, in that same way. Okay, then I took the tortillas off, put one down, cracked an egg in the middle of one of the tortillas. Then I put little pieces of cheese all around it so the egg wouldn't run off of the tortilla.
Oh, that's smart.
And then I sandwiched another tortilla on top of it, and then you let the cheese melt a little bit so it seals it in. I flipped it and I had this perfectly crunchy tortilla with a quesadilla with an over easy egg in the center.
Yeah.
Oh, is that something? I didn't invent that. What is that called?
I've had it before. My husband did it and he also thought he invented it.
See,
so it's probably a thing in a lot of places.
What is it called? Yeah. I don't know what it's called. Yeah.
Es que lo haces con pan, like with bread, it's very common. I think there's a movie with Cher where she makes it like that.
So yes.
It became very popular in the gay community in the United States back in the 80s.
Oh yeah, that was for gay culture. And that's gay culture, everyone. Okay. Happy Pride, everybody. You still ain't shit. Okay. So speaking of, you know, we've been trying to be like apolitical, which is not really what we are on this show, but we've been trying to be a place where people can come, a safe space where you don't have, you know, you can kind of escape from COVID shit and, you know, we have fun and we talk on the show. But lately, you know, what's been happening on the streets and in Minneapolis and now in every city as demonstrations in support of Black Lives Matter.
Right.
It's a very serious thing. And I think it would be very irresponsible if we didn't talk about it, voice our opinions, and really communicate with our listeners our thoughts on what's happening. And maybe like reaching out to people for help or with advice about what's happening, because I honestly had to, I couldn't sleep for a couple of days because I was just so
disturbed.
I just couldn't stop thinking about things, you know?
And yeah.
I had to like yesterday, I just like didn't go on social media at all except to do one post because I don't like watching the same fucking trauma porn over and over and over again.
Right.
And I understand that it's important for some people to see that, but I've already fucking seen it in real life. I don't need to keep seeing it over and over again. I just want to talk about that and get your thoughts and get your feelings about what's happening.
Ay, güey, pues es que, I mean, I saw the footage when everything started happening. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, I've been so fed up with everything, you know, because we can talk about this later because I know one of the questions is related to this about how much we've grown or changed in the podcast. But like part of what's happened to me personally, and again, it's not about me, obviously, is just understanding the benefits of representation and how all that works, politics, etc. At the core of everything, when we think we're making strides, when we see ourselves reflected in the screen, when we see ourselves reflected in popular media, at the bottom, the system, it's still the same. And that's the fucking frustrating thing, because I know there's a lot of people that are really pushing for things to change. And we think that, in a way, popular media is the beginning. And it does a lot to have people see themselves reflected, right? But we are so entrenched into this politics of identity and representation that we forget that the fucking empire has not changed and that things are getting worse. So this was yet another wake-up call. But it seems like it's so enraging because it just seems like nothing's changing. And it's just like the same thing in every single picture I've seen of protesters, either if they have the words in their mouths or in the graffitis, like, still we're doing this, still we can't breathe, still we are still doing the same shit, you know, that we've been doing for fucking, you know, like for centuries, you know. And I mean, in public protesting for more than half a century. So I don't know, man. I don't miss social media, even though I still engage with like fucking Apple News. And one of the things that really got me like enraged, it's to see the supposed support of celebrities and taking fucking selfies in protest, making this shit about them, you know, like from fucking Lana Del Stupid Ray to like all these fucking Hollywood celebrities. Like, I'm so over it. That's part of the reason why I'm trying not to read anything, because they always get engaged and like they always wanted to see themselves related. Like, ¿dónde está la pinche garnacha con su fucking Pepsi to save everything right now? You know, like, it's just, I don't know, man. This culture of celebrity and visibility and injustice and how it's all fucking todo reburujado in social media, like, really got me. And I'm trying not to look, pero es imposible, you know? Like, it's fucking impossible to ignore what's happening.
Yeah, what do you think about people expecting people that have a social media presence to say something and do something on their platform? Because I've been thinking about it, about like Latinos Who Lunch. Like, we don't really post on our Instagram or our Twitter really, because we've created a boundary a long time ago. And I think we fell into like unhealthy practices on social media and,
right,
you know, just throwing things out into the void. I felt like we were just regurgitating things, and for what, you know?
Right.
But I had to post something because right now I think being silent is complicity, and you see that over and over again.
Right.
But at the same time, I just wanted it to be clear that I wasn't posting to get brownie points, which I see a lot of people posting for likes when it's not about that. And so I urge people that are posting about this to really think about why they're posting. Is it to make yourself feel better? Or to seem less racist? Or are you posting because you really care, you know?
Right.
And so, and if, and I posted something a few days ago, like, if you can't protest, okay, I understand. It's scary. There's COVID-19 that a lot of people have forgotten about out there, which is going to affect all of us protesting. And then there's also people that have been fighting this for decades, for their whole lives, that are tired of protesting. They've already put in the work, you know, and right. You can't shame people for not going out there. What is your intention with your posts? If most of your following is your friends and family that are ignorant as fuck, fuck yeah, post. Let them know what's up. And that was kind of my intent. Mm-hmm. I wanted my family to know, like, hey, I understand that you guys don't care about this, but this is important. So I'm posting for them, and I'm not posting for the Latinos Who Lunch listeners, because I know they already know this shit.
Right.
We've been talking about it since the fucking first episode of this podcast.
True.
Yeah, so I want you to think about that. But before you post, please put attention. Like my mom says, please put attention.
Put attention.
Because honestly, I see a lot of people kind of regurgitating again the same fucking shit and not really paying attention to what they're posting. And you're just spreading misinformation as well, okay? And it's like, okay, cool. I understand you shouldn't use milk to clean your body from tear gas. How's that going to help? We need to be posting about, okay, this is happening now. What can we do now to change policy to actually, you know, we're protesting now, and then what, right? And then what happens, right? That's the question I have now. What happens now? How do we defund police departments? How do we end police brutality? By changing the system. And a protest is important, okay? There's a lot of protests happening that done by organizations that may not have the best intent. So before you go out there with a group, make sure that the group that you're standing with shares the same values as you, because there's been a lot of copycat groups. So there's a lot of layers to this. And what enrages me the most, it gives me a physical reaction even, is seeing the police treat people like animals, which reinforces the reason why we are doing this. There's a lot of listeners, there's a lot of my family that are sympathizers and are saying things like, oh, but remember during the shootings in Las Vegas, who was there for you? The police was there. That's their fucking job. They should be protecting us. Why are we praising the police for doing what they're supposed to do? Right?
Right.
That's my statement on that. But the police is part of a larger system that has been put in place to uphold the pillars of white supremacy, right? Like they are the pillars. They are protecting the people in power, which are old white racist men, right? So it's larger picture, okay? I understand your cousin might be a cop and he might be the sweetest person in the world, but ask that cousin if he's seen injustices happen in front of his eyes and he hasn't said anything, right?
Nothing, right?
Oh, but what is he supposed to do? He's going to lose his job. I understand that, but that's part of the problem. Why can't that officer speak out, right? Because that officer will be shunned and shut up, right? It's part of a larger system. And so my main message is to just pay attention. Don't just post because it's the cool thing to do right now. Like, what are you actually doing with your time and your energy? And do you really care?
And it's okay if you don't feel equipped to write something in, like, if you think it's going to be something that is adding to the dialogue on your social media or whatever. But if you are aware of these problems and you do want to help, there's so many different things that you can do, you know, outside of public speech. And that, as we mentioned this before in the podcast before, having a conversation at home, you know, like there's a lot of amazing institutions around the country that are leading some of these wars. And we cannot forget that this is about George Floyd, you know, and his family and the black community, you know, and how that...
It's more than just George Floyd. This has been...
Right.
Since George Floyd was murdered, there's been several other people murdered. It just keeps happening.
Yeah, it doesn't stop.
I mean, that was the catalyst to this movement now, but like it's been happening and it's going to continue happening for a long time if we don't do anything about it.
Yo siempre digo que por qué chingados no le dan unas clases de ética a los fucking cops, but it's like...
It doesn't matter, bitch. Metro in Las Vegas has some of the best sensitivity training in the nation, which is still trash because I have literally seen with my own fucking eyes on social media and in front of my face, cops being insensitive and violent towards people for no fucking reason. Right. And let me tell you right now, there's a lot of people that don't understand what's happening because of their privilege, including Latinos. And I'm saying this because I was raised in the hood with around mostly Black people and Mexicans, right? African Americans and Mexicans. I'll be very specific. And so ever since I could remember, I have been afraid of the police because I have seen the police ruin lives in front of my eyes.
Right.
I have called the police in my entire lifetime, maybe twice. And each of those times that I called the police, I regretted it and I was immediately enraged and also felt betrayed by my own country. I called the police for help because I didn't know what else to do, and when I got there they made the situation worse for me and I felt less protected than before. So this is from personal experience. There's many people that the police shows up when a party's too loud and they quiet everybody down, you know, or, you know, they're there to, you know, get a bank robber. We're not talking about that. We're talking about everyday occurrences. When I see a police officer when I'm driving, I get nervous.
Pues sí.
We shouldn't feel that way. They are there to protect us and they don't do that. They're doing a lot of harm and nobody wants to talk about that, right, within our own community because their dad's a cop or their uncle was a cop. Like, okay, I have a lot of uncles that ain't shit. So just because they're cops, you know, doesn't mean they're doing the right thing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it's that too, you know?
Hijos que... I also urge people to take care of themselves because like, it's just, like you said, like you couldn't sleep. Like these things piled up, you know, and we have to stay clear. And I, as I mentioned before, and I told my students, I said, like, while we, the people that are privileged enough to be sheltering at home, it is a moment of reflection to gather strength because this shit, again, it's not changing. And in many ways, the empire is getting stronger. So we have to understand our privilege and we have to understand how we can help to participate in changing some of these things or just interrupting somebody's day by questioning, you know, their fucking racism. Little things like that, they do have a big impact. And if social media is not the right place, then you know what other spaces you have created or you can create to have these conversations, you know? So take care of yourselves, but also, you know, don't be complacent and participate in any fucking possible way you can.
And I want to give a big fuck you to Telemundo and Univision for always villainizing Black people and making this about Black people destroying things in the streets, because that's all that the reports have been, because all you motherfucking white adjacent press and media people at Univision and Telemundo have been protected by white supremacy and are blind to what they're fucking doing. They're sensationalizing a lot of it. They're not focusing on the real fucking issues. And remember, your grandma's watching that. Your mom and dad are watching that. So please talk to them about that when they're watching the news and how they're ignoring the fact that the police are the ones marching around in fucking riot gear, shooting us, shooting Black people. Okay?
Right.
It's not the other way around. We're not the ones bringing in the military. okay? The president is doing that. Who is actually causing the violence? Think about it, you know? And on the same note of protection, you know, under the veil of white supremacy that happens in a lot of Latinx communities, remember that Black Latinos exist. So I know I've seen a lot of people sharing the same graphics that say Latinos for Black Lives Matter. That shit is fucked up, guys. Think about it. Like, Latinos are Black. You're just saying Latinos for Latinos. Yeah, we fucking get it. When you say Latinos for Black Lives Matter, it's erasing Afro-Latinos. So right. Please pay attention. White supremacy is a fucking sneaky bitch.
It's everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, Dios mío. Okay, I have a lot more to say, but maybe we'll save it for the next episode. And just so everybody knows, I'm going to start saying when we record these episodes because the news changes hour by hour. So thank you to everybody who has been donating to people, bailing the protesters out. Thank you for the people protesting out there on the streets and making a difference. Thank you for everybody that's taking primaries seriously and voting. If you haven't voted yet, Google everybody. See what their policies are. Urge your representatives to make statements on this. See where they stand and vote with that in mind. Because that's how it's going to change.
And find your grassroots organizations. There's so many around the country. Like, don't fucking donate to like a big ass company that is using this to make money. Like, find the grassroots organizations, because there's tons everywhere that have been working on this of getting people out of jail for fucking decades and decades and decades. Like, don't donate to a celebrity. Don't donate to a big corporation. Donate to your local grassroots. I bet if you Google it, you'll be surprised of how many people have been organizing in your community for decades and decades. So just do a little bit of Googling and that will go a long, long, long way.
And don't fucking come at me like, but where do we, you have the fucking internet. Google it, locas. We've been saying it for years. Google it. Don't come to me and be like, meh, meh, meh. And also leave Black people the fuck alone right now. Don't be like, what can we do to help? What can you do to help? If I hear another fucking person say that, I swear to the Lord. My God, don't ask. Are you fucking kidding me? Don't ask Black people how you can help. You know how you can help, by shutting the fuck up and taking action. Okay?
Right.
All right. Whew. Okay, let's take a break.
Let's do it.
OMG, Babelito. We have a lot of people supporting Latinos Who Lunch, and I really cannot thank them enough. It's actually been very heartwarming to see our Patreon family grow and grow and grow over the past couple months. And, you know, it's really helping us out. We finally, you know, have money to pay a producer, and we have money to pay ourselves maybe one day, you know? So we have a lot of debt because of Latinos Who Lunch. Thousands of dollars over the years doing the show for free for you. And, you know, we were kind of hesitant to start a Patreon because we wanted this to be a free platform for everybody. But people kept asking us, we want to help. And y'all, it's really heartwarming. Y'all showed up and helped us out in a big way. So thank you for doing that and for your continued support. We're going to thank our madrinas on today's episode. So we're going to do some shout outs now.
Yes. Why don't we start with Alejandra A. Shout out to you, madrina.
Thank you to Alejandra N.
Another Alexandra N. We have two of those. Thank you so, so much, madrinas.
Ali N. Thank you.
Alonso R. Shout out.
Ana.
Ana H. Gracias.
Andrea H.
Andrea ABQ, muchísimas gracias.
Annette, thank you.
We love you, girl. Ayla R, shout out.
Karina R, thank you so much.
KCP, saludos.
Chris, thank you. And thank you for the letter you sent me. That was very, very sweet. I'll text you later.
Christian, shout out to you.
Daisy V, thank you.
Daisy Z, gracias.
Dana G, thank you so much.
David E, shout out to you.
Dionis, thank you, my man.
Dora P,
Eduardo.
Emily W. Shout out to you, girl.
Esteban C. You're the best.
Gabriela S.
Hazani B. Thank you.
Hillary N. Namaste.
Indira, gracias.
Itzel S, shout out to you.
Jennifer H, gracias.
Jesse R, shout out.
Jessica A, thank you.
Julia M, muchísimas gracias.
If you want to become part of the Patreon family, get a shout out on the show, and there's other perks too. You can go to latinoswholunch.com/donate or patreon.com/latinoswholunch. We're going to shout out the rest of the madrinas on our next break. And we're back.
Okay.
All right. So it's my month to produce the shows, and I want to get through all of the listener letters, and we're almost there. So we're probably going to keep our answers kind of short. We always say that. It never happens.
Right.
Because we really want to read them all. And I'm sorry if we haven't read your letter. It's probably because you just didn't ask a question. We appreciate your emails, but please try to ask a question. Try to keep them brief, please. If they're brief and concise, we can, there's more than likely we will actually play them on the show. You can send your emails to asklwlpod@gmail.com. You can leave a voice memo, or now you can call our number, area code 512-333-0471, and we might play it on a future episode. And speaking of, we're going to play a message from Agustin now.
Hey, you guys, this is Agustin calling about episode 152, Immigrants Who Fly, in regards to the conversation about La Guzman versus Jenny Rivera. And you guys know that the señoras hated on Jenny Rivera because she represents the rancho and La Guzman represents Mexico City. It's definitely more of a class issue, maybe hangover from the casta system. P.S. Thanks for reading my emails 5 years later.
Wow. Thank you, Agustin. I appreciate the light shade at the end. That is very on brand. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on that. Jenny Rivera, he's referencing the last listener letter where somebody was asking us why people love, Alejandra Guzman versus why señoras don't like Jenny Rivera. And it's that rancho versus Mexico City thing that Agustin just said, which I completely agree with.
Yeah, and I also think in Mexico, like in Latin America, there's been those feuds. Back in the day, it was Lucía Méndez contra Verónica Castro.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Alejandra Guzmán contra Paulina Rubio. And Alejandra Guzmán, even there were songs about it, I think, and shit. But there was also the pairing of Alejandra Guzmán and Gloria Trevi. Gloria Trevi was the rowdy, always labeled as Naka. So I think the right, so the Alejandra Guzman contra, yeah, Jenny Rivera is that. It's like una es la Naka y la otra es like the refined one, even though what the fuck does that mean anyway, you know? So yeah, it definitely is a fucking class thing. But you know, but they're also like in as representatives of so many different things, we have to remember a lot of these people are products that they are created for that specific reason, to represent a certain demographic and shit. So yes, you're absolutely right, Agustin.
I remember when I was little asking my grandma, like, why does Paulina Rubio talk like that? Because, you know, she talks with like a Spanish accent. I was so confused.
Una vez la entrevistaron y le preguntaron, ¿te gusta leer? Y dice, a mí me encanta leer. Y vaya que si leo.
Come on, Valentina. We love it. Okay.
Okay.
Next, we have a letter from Jessica titled 4 Year Reflections. You want to read this one, Babs?
Go for it.
Okay. Hola, amigos. Your 4-year anniversary just passed, and I'm so happy that I have been here enjoying your shenanigans since January 2017. My question for you is, what are 4 things you have learned in the past 4 years? It can be about yourself, about your friendship, about life in general, or anything you are willing to share. I would really love to hear your reflections. Lots of love, and hope y'all stay happy and healthy. Jess, heart emoji.
4 things. Okay. Yeah. 4 things.
That's like, a great question, Jessica. Thank you.
It is a good question. Thank you for not making it about identity. One thing I've
thank you
learned.
For not, thank you for not making it about what the show is about.
One thing I learned is that I learned to appreciate my Chicano side, which I didn't. It was like very clear in the beginning that either I'm Mexicano or no. So like Spanglish just started flowing after starting with the podcast. Also, understanding my queerness in a different way that I did before. I learned to hate the world, but not because of the podcast, because the podcast obligated me to be more aware of a lot of things that I wasn't, that I wasn't aware of before. And also understanding commitments in a different way that I used to do it. And I'm talking in very general terms, not to get into a lot of detail. But I think the 2 most important ones for me are getting in touch with my queerness in a different way, but also mi Latinidad, you know? And that's, I think that's some of the listeners that we got in the beginning and we still have to today, they've seen that. They've seen that process of how we change about identity politics, how we change about a lot of topics that in the beginning we were like so excited about it and eating food in the microphone and this and that. But in a way, I've seen the change and I've seen the growth. And I kind of like that. And the people that have been there from day one, or the people that like start listening to us and they start from the episode number 1, they can see that. And I think that's the most valuable thing about the podcast, about not only continue to do it, but also not backing up. Like, I think I'd never backed up. I did. There was one comment that I did a while ago about mental health that I have since changed, and we talked about it many, many times. But just to see that process of how our voices have matured, because both of our voices have matured, I think that's the most valuable thing of the podcast, you know, at least for me.
Speak for yourself, because... Girl, the more I do this podcast, actually, the less I know, honestly. Because no, and it's not a joke. It's like the more I talk about these issues, the less and less I feel like I know about them, because there's so much more
right.
that I didn't even know about. You know what I mean? The 4 things that I have taken from doing this show is, I think, figuring out my self-worth is one of them. Recently, I think understanding kind of like what boundaries are and why they're important and how to establish them in a healthy way when it comes to my energy and who I give that to, because I feel like I gave this show my all for so many years and it completely depleted me. So I think I'm in a state right now where I'm trying to like slowly rebuild myself because of it, and it's nobody's fault but mine. So learning that is important. Also understanding that feelings aren't facts, because we get a lot of emotional emails, for example, and I'm a very, very, very sensitive person, and I carry around a lot all the time. So just kind of like learning that and learning to kind of process that, and I don't want to say letting it go, but learning from that and not carrying it, you know, maybe just like storing it somewhere.
Right.
And then I think the 4th, is that 3 things already? I think the 4th thing.
I think this is your 3rd, girl.
Is this the 3rd?
Yes.
Oh my God. What was the first one?
It was, It was about, I don't know, you talked for a long time.
Okay, the third thing was that learning that Babelito doesn't listen to what I'm saying. That's the third thing. Pay attention to people that don't listen to you and don't give them your time. And then the fourth thing would be... Oh, the fourth thing is that this podcast and talking to you all is like... It's been really amazing to find my community and just embracing the differences within the Latino community, because I feel like in the beginning I had a very closed idea of what Latinidad is, and I'm learning that Latinidad isn't defined by anybody. You know, it is very complicated and very vast, and sometimes just defining it yourself is important, and just, you know, listening to other people's perspectives is also very important. So yeah, that was my convoluted answer. Thank you so much, Jessica, for that email. That was a really thoughtful and fun question.
Aprendan, cabrones. Okay, la que sigue es la Miriam. And the title of her email is DACA Recipient in COVID-19 Era. So bear with me, because this is a long one. Okay.
Well, let's switch off every other paragraph, because it's a pretty long one.
Okay. Hi, I have tried for the last few weeks to email you and have failed miserably. In part, I struggle with my mental health, working from home, and other stressors that have surfaced from COVID-19. But also, I wanted you to read this and be willing to respond with some advice, motivational, podcast, or even just an acknowledgement.
My name is Miriam ZC. So I took out her full name because the internet's a bitch and I don't want anybody trolling her. So just for your protection, Miriam. Okay, yes, all that. I decided to take back my full name when I received DACA in 2012. For many years, since I first arrived in the U.S., I was stripped from my second last name because it was not within the culture to take my second last name. When I graduated from college in 2018, I was the first in my family to do so. So, I decided to have my full name, Miriam Zeta Say, at the commencement, and my degree, because I needed both of my parents to receive credit for my accomplishments. Come on.
Let me tell you, we know how hard it is to finish college as a first-generation college student, but we never talk about how hard it is to navigate the professional workforce after we graduate. Well, there might be a discussion of this at a broad spectrum, but can we make this a more open conversation and dig deeper?
After I graduated from college, I continued to work at the same public school I had worked at for the last 3 years. I took a year to figure out my next steps. I decided I wanted to pursue my master's degree and move to the DMV area. I was super excited, but struggled financially for the first few months. My faith and God kept me going for sure. The place I started working at was nice for the first 2 months. Then eventually I realized that this job was not challenging me and I was very unhappy. And on top of that, I couldn't afford a decent living with my salary. I was sad and I wanted to go back. I decided to start looking for a new job. I didn't want to go back home and feel like I had failed.
I was able to find a new job with the help of a friend from a young adult ministry at my church. Her father is a well-versed man in public health, my area of study. I reached out to her father, and within a couple of weeks, I had an interview with the company. I banged out the 3 interviews and got a job offer. Good for you.
Come on, bang, bang. I was so excited to begin working in DC. I felt like for once I was accomplishing something. Then, as I started working, I realized that I was struggling a lot. I felt like my education had not prepared me for this. I had to write summaries and reports on things that I was just learning, and the feedback from my colleagues was not very positive. But I also needed to learn to take constructive criticism to grow.
Even today, just for 4 months into the job, I still feel unfit for the job. It doesn't help that most of my colleagues are white and come from very prestigious schools and backgrounds. I have not built any close relationships with any of my colleagues, partly because we have been working from home since March, and I started working there in February. Shout out to Madalena. I feel almost alone to face the challenges of my job, which really sucks. I feel like I can't build a relationship with most people at my job.
Aside from this happening, My father was diagnosed with COVID-19 and I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. My father is undocumented, so you know that situation came with many challenges. My dad is still recovering. His lungs got hit pretty bad from the virus, but he survived, and we are thankful for that. And on top of that, I am afraid of losing DACA this year.
Before the quarantine, I never listened to podcasts, so you were the first podcast I've ever listened to. And it has helped me get through these weeks. I look forward to Thursday to listen to you talk and make me laugh. I need the motivation to help me get through this time in my life. I want you to talk a little bit about being a person of color and how sometimes our quality of education affects the way we perform at work, especially in spaces dominated by white people. Help me, please. I need to believe I can do this and succeed in life. Warmly, Medium Zeta Se.
Ooh, wow, that was a doozy. Okay. So many challenges going into a new job. Well, first, let's talk about being the first person in your family to graduate college. I can totally relate to that. I'm first generation and the first person in my family to ever graduate. So I don't think people that come from families that have been college educated for generations understand how hard it is to do that. I went in with zero help. And when you don't know like that there's help out there with grants, with scholarships, with student loans, you know, like, you don't know the first thing about that. And a lot of the times these advisors or counselors, they don't really help you that much because they are overworked and, you know, they have too many students to take care of. So they'll just send you a draft email and good luck, you know? And right. So I had to learn a lot of lessons the hard way in college about just getting through it because I had no models. And thankfully, I had a few friends with resources and I could ask them questions. And I mean, that was like 2 years in and it was like a little too late for some of the decisions that I had made. But all of that accounts for your experience. You know, I remember one of my closest white friends at the time in school, his mom, you know, she went to college, her father went to college, her grandfather went to college. So his mom took care of everything before he even stepped foot onto the campus, you know, like what I was trying to figure out for 2 years, this guy already had come in, you know, with that behind him. And so right. That's very difficult. And then adding the fact that you're undocumented or a DACA recipient on top of that, that's also another stress that you have to worry about, which I can't even imagine. So yeah. So now you're in the workforce. And one thing I will tell you, I have worked at a lot of places, and I am a person that thankfully my Diosito, if you believe in that, Diosita, whatever, has given me the don of faking it till I make it. I can fake any fucking thing. Like, I will pretend that I know anything because I like to problem solve and just figure that shit out, you know? And so I've had many administrative jobs and offices where I have... Girl, honestly, I still don't know how to make fucking Excel sheets. I don't know how the fuck to. But bitch, you better believe that I was like, you better believe that I was downloading free templates and watching YouTube videos. I just learned the bare minimum to get by my jobs, so that they thought that I basically was an accountant at one of the jobs that I was at. Had no fucking clue what I was doing. Moving thousands. Remember that? Yes. I was like literally moving millions of dollars around. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing.
But that goes to dinero, valió madres.
I don't know. I hope they went into the right accounts, girl. But listen, I know that it seems like the people at your job know what's up and you feel inferior to them, but I bet you those $1 million that I moved around, that I probably lost that company I worked for, that half of those people have no clue what the fuck they're doing either. They're just doing the same thing that I was doing. They were just faking it because a lot of these motherfuckers out there have no clue either because their mamas did everything for them. Okay. And so just just know that a lot of it is also your insecurity and the fact that you're fucking there and you're trying and you're learning right. from the mistakes is right. something that they will never do. And so you are already ahead of the game, girl.
Miriam, te voy a decir algo. You graduated college for a fucking reason. You put a commitment into those 2-4 years, 5 or 10 como cities, but you did it.
There's a fucking shout out to your sister. 10 years.
There's a reason for that. There's a reason why they hire you. And this is something that I also struggle to this day. That I forget that they hired me for a reason. That there are expertise that you're bringing or you're going to bring to the job mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. that nobody else can. And guess what, Mimi? At the next crisis, you are prepared because you have been handling several balls at the same time.
Balls. You better juggle.
And some people who had all the privilege in the world to just go to school, get an A, and come back home are not prepared. They're not equipped to deal with crises in the job force. And they're the first ones that fall apart and melt. So if this job hasn't given you the opportunity to shine, believe me, it will give you the opportunity to shine. And as Fabi says, we're all faking it. En la frase que de mi papá, agarra el cuero por los tornos. You know how many times I have said yes to shit that I had no idea what I was doing? And finally, I put it together because there's always been challenges. Yo me acuerdo, with like one of the first weeks in UNLV, I remember like we will get our quizzes back and like the same white people will get A's. And then we will all walk outside at the same time and get in our cars so they will pick us up. And they always got into the nicest cars. And I would just be like, esos cabrones, they have a nice car. They get A's, fucking perfect. But that doesn't make a strong worker, you know what I mean? Not that we shouldn't have the opportunities or the nice cars or whatever, but you have so many challenges. And on top of that, you still working and taking care of your family, girl. I will hire you in a fucking heartbeat. So you need to understand your strengths, which are not necessarily per book. It's not something that you learn in a book. And you are applying those strengths to surviving and to your job. And believe me, when life gives you the opportunity to shine in front of all these fucking mediocre motherfuckers, you will see what I'm talking about. So you are doing just fine. And shout out to your family and your dad. The best of luck. Mucha salud y muchísima, muchísima vida, Miriam.
Sending you love. You're going to get through this. You're okay. And, you know, I talked a lot of mess about social media at the beginning, but honestly, it also has been a blessing for me for the past few years. Some of my best friends I have found on social media. A lot of shout out to all my friends in New York, all my podcasting friends, all my crew in Dallas. I have so many close friends in Dallas and Texas and Houston and Austin. And it was all, the catalyst was this podcast and connecting to a greater Latinx community.
True.
A greater art community. Because, you know, it really has given me a lot of hope and motivation to see other cultural workers, other cultural producers in other towns fighting the fight along with me. And that's also very encouraging. And it seems like you're feeling a little lonely right now. And, you know, maybe physically you're not with somebody, but reach out. You reached out to us. You can reach out to other podcasters or, you know, it's an interesting dynamic that happens right now on social media. It can be very toxic, but it also can be very supportive and healing if you filter out the bullshit. That just takes a little bit of time. It doesn't happen overnight, much like this change that needs to happen in this country. It's going to take time because there is just hundreds of years of oppression. It's these systems, you know, like people have no idea of the stress that it is to be undocumented. Things can change any day for you. The trajectory of your life can change any day. And these white people at your job have no idea what that's like. So like Babelito says, you have skills that they will never, ever have. And so hold your fucking head up high and just know that. Just know that. Okay. I think we're going to stop there and we'll save the rest of the letters for the next episode. Again, you can go to asklwlpod@gmail.com. Leave your own letters. Leave a voicemail. Leave a voice memo in the email if you'd like. We'll put the phone number in the show notes for you. All right, let's take a little break and we'll be right back. All right, let's thank the rest of our madrinas. You know, there's three levels, madrina, comadre, amiga. So you can choose your level. You can read all the perks at patreon.com/latinoswholunch or go on our website, latinoswholunch/donate to check them out. All right, we're going to start with Laura T. Thank you.
Leah, shout out to you.
Lola's Cocina. Hey. Thanks, Oprah. Okay.
Luis R. ¿Qué onda, comadre? Madrina. Gracias. Y de todo lo demás.
Luis, thanks. Luna, gracias.
María G, shout out to you and gracias.
María RM, thank you.
Miguel C, come on. Gracias.
The choosiest chick, okay. Miranda S, thank you.
Nancy M, muchísimas gracias.
Natalia O,
Nicole Y.
Naomi R.
Paulina B.
Saludos a tu familia, Paula. All right. Rafael T. Oh, my God. Rafa, thank you. I love it when I know who they are. That's so sweet.
Raquel S., shout out to you.
Renato, thank you.
Roberto R., shout out to you.
Rosaura in the house.
Gracias,
hey.
Amiga. Sarah.
Sara S., thank you.
Stephanie B., ay, 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 muchísimas gracias, mujeres.
Oh, my God. Lindo Michoacán is open for to-go orders. And, bitch, you know that I just went and I ordered chips, salsa, and fideo the other day. And they're like, sir, you know that comes free with the meals. I was like, yeah, just charge me for that. That's what I want to eat. So I just, like, ordered a bunch of chips, salsa, beans. Oh, my God. It was so good. Okay, where were we? Oh, my God. I just got hungry. Okay, Tyler. Thank you, Tyler.
Vanessa L., shout out to you.
Vanessa T.
And last but not least, Yesenia S. Shout out to you and to all the madrinas for their continuous support. We love you. We cannot do this without you. Muchísimas gracias.
And we're back. Okay, Babs, do you have any recs?
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
So there's no albums. And again, because we're recording a lot of episodes for the following month, I am highlighting some albums that are coming up. And one of them is going to be Mercedes Nasta. If you don't remember Mercedes Nasta, or if you don't know who Mercedes Nasta is, Google it, loca. She does this psychedelic, almost minimalist, super slow cumbias. El Paricutín is a song that captured me the second I listened to an album from 2016. And shout out to Pat from the Colores Radio, who's always thanking me for putting Mercedes Nasta in her radar. And she just came out with a new single. The single is Tarantela. And I listened to a whole interview with her, and she talked about her process. And it's super, super interesting because she says that her songs come out very slow, and she thinks about cumbia almost like a meditative way. So it's not just like, tuvo. No, like cumbia for Mercedes Nasta is a way to, it's like a very it's about introspection. It's about thinking about yourself and others, everything through the very slow rhythms. And she creates some of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful cumbias I've ever listened. And it's because of that, because it's just a different approach to the genre. And this is also a good opportunity to recommend a podcast, Signos FM, where it's all about Ibero-American in Latinx, Ibero-American and Latinx music. Signos FM. This is where I listened to the interview on Mercedes Nasta, and I went on a rabbit hole because they have amazing, amazing interviews, and they highlight all kinds of great music all over Latin America, and they have their own podcast. So again, Signos FM, and the single of Mercedes Nasta is called Tarantela, and you can listen to it in any platform. Shout out to both. Those are my recommendations for today.
All right. My recommendation is to talk to your elders, talk to your family, let them know your perspective on what's happening. It's very important. It's going to be a very uncomfortable conversation, but do it. And I'm not playing. Do it. It's fun to talk about it, but be about it. Okay?
Right.
All right.
Awesome.
As always, you can go to latinoswholunch.com to check out the rest of our episodes. You can download Latinos Who Lunch on any podcast platform. And while you're there, you can leave us a review, 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're hearing now is by the band Balloon. I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, 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 ciao.